This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is...
In this wonderful festive season, as we approach the big day on December 25th, let me be the first, or at least among the first, to wish you happy holidays. Now, have you noticed that in our society today, we have begun to talk about the holidays instead of Christmas? Have you noticed that? I saw a commercial on TV the other night. This woman goes up to a clerk, I guess at a newsstand or something, and she buys Pennsylvania lottery tickets. Now, we know she was off the beam already, right? Everybody know that?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to be sure. I walked in the store the other day, and the clerk said, "Are you here to buy lotto tickets?" I said, "No, sir." I hope you answer the same thing. Amen?
Amen?
Anyway, in this commercial, she buys these Pennsylvania lottery tickets. She turns away, she puts them in an envelope, and then she turns back to the clerk, and whatever his name is, we'll call him Sam. She says, "Sam, this is for you." And what does she say? "Merry Christmas?" No. "Happy holidays, Sam. This is your happy holiday gift." We are de-emphasizing Christmas and turning the whole thing into the holidays. And the question I want to ask you today is, what are you celebrating this year? Are you celebrating the holidays, or are you celebrating Christmas? Let me tell you, if you're celebrating the holidays, you're in good shape. I mean, you can just go with the flow of what you see on TV or what they're doing in the mall. Go buy a gift for everybody on your list and you will be okay. Except until January when the bills start coming. Amen? So if you want to celebrate the holidays, praise God. Catch this. There is nothing wrong with celebrating the holidays. You can have fun. You can buy gifts. There is nothing wrong with that. But just understand it, that's not Christmas. That is not celebrating Christmas. If your intention is to actually celebrate Christmas, you need to dig a little deeper. Because in our time, it's easy to get Christmas and the holidays mixed up. Catch it. Catch this. Just look at the words. The big difference is that Christmas starts with Christ. And Christ is nowhere to be found in the holidays. Today I want to speak to those of us who really want to celebrate Christmas and to remind us of what it takes to truly celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. To do that, we want to look at some men who got it right. In fact, they celebrated Christmas long before there was any such thing as the holidays, and they can teach us some lessons about how to do it the right way. Go with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, if you stop and think about it, this is a remarkable story. Jesus is being born in Bethlehem of Judea, but way over in the east. We actually think it was probably somewhere around Persia, or where we would call Iran today. These wise men saw a star in the sky, and somehow they knew that star represented the coming of the King of the Jews. And these wise men, who were not Christians, because there was no such thing at the time, they were not even Jews, but they somehow were drawn by God to say, "We need to come and to bow down and to worship the king." Well, let's first of all ask the question, who were these people? The word that is translated wise men is magoi, M-A-G-O-I. And we bring that word into English as magi. Have you heard that term? The magi? That refers to the wise men. Magi is the word from which we get the word magician. And so the wise men were men who, in some sense, were magicians in the Persian Empire. They were people who were wise in the sense that they knew a lot about what was going on in the earth. They knew what was going on with the stars. They were what we would call today astronomers or even astrologers because they looked to the stars for signs. But here's why they were called wise men. They were the advisors to kings. Let me show you something. Go over to Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 4. You'll remember that God had allowed the people of Judah to be thrown into captivity because of their sins. The Babylonians had come and conquered them and taken many of them off. And one of the ones that they took off was Daniel. Brought him into the land of Babylon. And Daniel was so wise and so committed to God that God prospered him. And he kind of walked up the ladder of success in the Babylonian Empire. Daniel was the best of the best of the wise men. There came a time when the Babylonians were conquered by another nation. The Medes and Persians, the wise men that we see coming to worship Jesus, were probably wise men of the Medes and Persians. Now, how did they know that there was a Messiah coming? Who had been their chief? Daniel. And what did Daniel know? He knew the scriptures. Amen? He knew his God. And he knew that a Messiah was promised. And I'm sure that what happened was Daniel not only was the chief of the magicians, he was the chief evangelist in the whole court. Every time, we remember what happened to Daniel? They passed a law, the law of the Medes and Persians, that said, Daniel, or anybody, you must not pray to any other god but the king. And so what did Daniel do? Went and did what he always did, got up in his house, turned his face toward Jerusalem, and prayed to his God. And so, kids, where did they throw Daniel? Anybody know? They threw him into what? The lion's den, because he was faithful to God. And when he came out of that lion's den and the lion just hadn't touched him, hadn't scratched him, that lion looked at Daniel and said, oh boy, you look good. I'd like to take a bite out of you. And the angel was standing there holding that lion's mouth shut. And even though he tried with all his might, he couldn't touch Daniel. Amen? And when he came out, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, I know, Daniel, the God you serve is the God of heaven. Hallelujah. See, Daniel was faithful. And because he was faithful, he shared the word about the God of heaven, the true God, the only God who made the world. And what this God planned to do, he was going to one day send forth his son, called the Messiah. And that word Messiah, translated into Greek, is the Christ. That is why we call him Jesus Christ. Everybody know that Christ is not Jesus' last name? Do you know that? Amen. Christ is not his last name. He is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the only begotten Son of God. And Daniel told the story. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't ashamed. He told the story and kept telling the story. And so the tradition came forth among these wise men. Look to the west. Look toward Jerusalem. There will come one day a king among the Jews whom God will send to save the world. And the day came. These men looked up and there was a star in the sky. And because they knew astronomy, they knew this is different from anything we've ever seen before. And somehow the Spirit of God impressed upon them, this star in the west signifies the coming of the king. Now here's where it really gets exciting. When they knew that the king of the Jews was coming, they had a decision to make. What are we going to do about it? they decided that the only reasonable thing for us to do is to go and find him, fall down before him, worship him, and give him gifts. If you're going to celebrate Christmas and not just the holidays, you need to find him, fall down before him, worship him, and give him gifts. Amen? See, that's the first thing we find out about these wise men. They came to Jesus bearing gifts. Now think about what we do on Christmas. Remember when you were a child? Kids, are you looking forward to Christmas? Amen. Why are you looking forward to Christmas? Gifts. Amen. How many expect to get some good gifts on Christmas? Let me just see. Some good gifts. All right, parents, take a look. Amen. Now catch this. On that Christmas, when the wise men came, they didn't come looking for gifts. They came bringing gifts. Amen. Whose birthday is Christmas? Kids, whose birthday is Christmas? Jesus is. And if you go to a birthday party and one of your friends has a birthday, do you go to the party and say, give me a gift? No, what do? You go and bring them a gift, isn't that right? And that's what the wise men did. When they came to seek out Jesus, they didn't come saying, oh, Jesus, what can you give us? Oh, Jesus, we want prosperity. Oh, Jesus, we want health. Oh, Jesus, we want a good job. Oh, Jesus, give us. Now, you know, the wonderful thing about God is he wants to give us all that stuff. Amen? Praise God for that. But when they came to bow down before Jesus, they didn't come saying, what are you going to give me? They came bearing gifts. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. The gifts they brought were valuable gifts. The gifts they brought were valuable gifts. You know, we say it's not the amount that you pay for a gift. It's the thought that counts. Isn't that right? It's the thought that counts. But you got to watch out. You see, the thought is reflected in the gift. Think about this for a moment. You are 35 years old. You got a good job, making good money. Am I talking about anybody here yet? Got a good job, making good money. And it's coming on Christmas time, and you got to get a gift for your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And so here's what you do. You're busy. How many busy people do we have here? Busy people, especially in this season. Amen. You're really busy. And so you just don't get around to going out to the store. So, you know, what you say is, look, I'm going to wait until the day after Christmas sale. Amen. I'm going to wait till the day after Christmas sale. And then on the day after Christmas, what you do is you go to Kmart, and I'll put this on us men. You go to Kmart, you go over to the 99-cent table and get your wife a pot holder and wrap it up and give it to her for Christmas. Men, how many of you know you're going to be eating on the floor for a while? Amen. I mean, you come bring your wife a 99-cent pot holder and say, honey, this is for you. And she looks at that thing and says, what is this? And you say, but it's the thought that counts. She probably has some more things to say to you about that. Amen? No. See, the thought is represented by the character of the gift, what it is that you are willing to put into it. Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. The more valuable to you a person is, the more valuable the gift that you want to give. Isn't that right? I mean, it's all right to go to the 99-cent table for somebody you don't really know. But if it's for somebody who's close and dear to you, you probably need to go at least to the $1.98 table. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at this. Daniel. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. King David wanted to build an altar to God. a place where he could bow down and worship the Lord, sacrifice to him. And he looked at a particular threshing floor and said, this is exactly what I want. And he went to the owner and said, I'll buy it from you in order to build an altar. And the owner said, King David, you don't have to buy it. I'll give it to you. Look at what David said. 2 Samuel 24:24. Then the king said to Arauna, no, but I will surely buy it for you, or buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Do you see the integrity of David? He's saying, I'm coming before God to present a gift to God. Who is the most valuable person in the whole universe? It's God, amen? And if you're going to present a gift to the most valuable person in the whole universe, what should that gift be? It should be valuable. Now understand, value has nothing to do with the amount of money you spend. Value has to do with what you invest in it. You may not spend anything. Parents, suppose your child had no money, but they spent hours and days making a present for you. They drew something, or they knitted something, or they constructed something, and they came and presented it to you. What would you say? Praise God. Amen? They didn't spend money on it, but what did they put into it? They put themselves into it. They put themselves into it. It cost them not money, but time and effort and love. Amen? And what David was saying is this. Look, God is the most valuable person in my life. I will not give him something that didn't cost me anything. When it comes time to give God a gift, I don't go to my junk box and find something in there that I don't use anymore and give it to God. No, what do I do? I give him something that costs me something, that says this is valuable to me. You see, if you're going to give God a gift, you can't just give him a cheap 99-cent gift. God won't receive that. If you give him the best you got, he doesn't care if it costs 2 cents. As long as you give him the best that you have to give. Let's look at what these men, these wise men, gave to Jesus. Go back to Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And here's another thing that people get wrong about the coming of the wise men. Matthew 2, 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What was it that they gave Jesus? The first thing they gave him was time. When they saw that star in the east, they packed up their belongings. They put together a caravan and they set out to go to Jesus. And it took them anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years to get there. They gave him time. Time is the most valuable commodity you have. Isn't that right? If you lose your money, you can make some more. Amen? But if you lose time, you'll never get it back. You'll never get it back. Time is the most valuable commodity you have. And let me tell you something. Don't tell me how much you love me if you don't have any time for me. You want to talk about an indication of your love for somebody. How much time are you willing to give them? How much of your non-replaceable time are you willing to invest in them? Here's the question. How much time are you willing to give God? When you want to talk about the gifts that we come to bring to Jesus on Christmas, the first gift that the wise men brought was the gift of time. So how much of your time are you willing to invest in God to show him how much you love him? You know, when I was in Colorado is in the mountain time zone. That's two time zones behind the Eastern time zone. And so during football seasons, whenever the Broncos were going to be playing back east, the game would start at 1 o'clock Eastern time, which was 11 o'clock Mountain time. And so we always knew anytime the Broncos were playing an early game, you could just expect that you look out at the congregation, there were going to be men not there. Because they were going to be home watching the Broncos. Amen? Men, I ought to hear some amens on that. You know what I'm talking about. Don't play me on this. Amen. We're probably blessed today that the Eagles played last night. I'm glad you're here. Praise the Lord. No, but what were they saying? What were they communicating? In terms of my time, the Broncos have a higher priority than God. That's what was coming across, isn't it? I mean, you think, put yourself in the place of God. And your people, the people who say they love you with all their heart, when it's time to come and meet you, time to come and fellowship with you, time to come and be with the other brothers and sisters and to sing your praises together because you love him so much. When it's time to do that, they look at the schedule and say, oops, the Broncos are playing. See you later, God. How much of your time are you investing in God? Time is irreplaceable, and time is a gift we need to give to God. We need to give him that time in prayer and in the word and in ministry. There is no substitute for quality and quantity time with God. Here's the second thing that the wise men brought. They brought their treasure. Look again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They not only gave him their time, 2 years, unreplaceable years of time, but they gave him treasure, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Each one of those was more valuable than the other. Everybody knows the value of gold. Amen. Frankincense and myrrh were aromatic spices that were more valuable by weight than the gold was. And that's what they brought to Jesus. They brought the most valuable gifts of their treasure that they have. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 9. When we bring gifts to God, what does he expect of us? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. If you're going to bring gifts to God, you know what God is not willing to accept? What we used to call when I was growing up, chump change. What you happen to have in your pocket. If you're going to give gifts to God, what does he want? God says, I want the most valuable thing you got. How many of you consider your money to be valuable? Amen. All right. How many of us does it hurt when we have to dig in our pocket and pull out money? Come on. How many of us? I mean, that's painful. Uh-huh. Amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Catch it. God is not interested in the amount of money. He's not interested in the amount. Why? He owns the cattle on Thousand Hills. He's not short of money. Amen? But what's he interested in? Where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. What's God interested in? Our heart. And remember, the nature of the gift indicates the thought of the heart. And so when we give God our chump change, what are we telling God? God, that big screen TV I want to buy is more important to me than you. God, that new car I want to drive is more important to me than you. God says that what he wants of us is the best that we've got to give. And so he not only wants our time, he wants us to invest the best that we have of our treasure into him. And so if you're going to come and bring a gift to God, to Jesus Christ in this Christmas season, it needs not to be a chump change gift. We need to give him the best that we have to give. But here's the final thing that they gave. And the most important thing of all, they came, they gave him time, they gave him treasure. But you know what I see? Those wise men devoted at least 2 years of their lives to nothing but coming to worship God. They gave him themselves. Go over to John chapter 10. Look at verse 11. Look at the gift that Jesus gave. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus came, and what did he give? He gave his life. What do you think God's looking for if we're going to come bring him a gift? He's looking for our lives. Do you know that's all God wants from you? Somebody said, there's no cost to salvation. There's no cost to being a Christian. That's not true. It's going to cost you everything you have. It costs you your life. Because the gift that God wants from you more than any other, more than your time, more than your treasure, he wants the gift of you. Because catch it, if he's got the gift of you, he's got your time. If he's got the gift of you, he's got your treasure. Let me ask you the question today. Have you given him the gift of yourself? Have you given Jesus Christ the gift of yourself? Have you said, Jesus, here I am. I present myself to you. You take me and you live your life through me. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you. Is that what you've really done with Jesus Christ? Or are you like some people I know? They give you a gift, and then if they get mad at you, they come and say, give me my gift back. Are we like that with Jesus? Are we among those who we've come at some point in our lives and say, Lord, I give myself to you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. And then when the time comes, when the pressure is on us, when things aren't going the way we want it to go, we take the gift back and start living our lives for ourselves again. You see, if you're going to give a gift to Jesus, the gift that he wants more than any other is the gift of you. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. God will only accept the gift that has put him at the center of your heart. And so the question I have to ask you today is, do you want to celebrate Christmas instead of the holidays? If you really want to celebrate Christmas, you got to bring a gift to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And the only one that he really wants is you.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.